I would have brought up an item on the at a budget hearing that had nothing to do with the budget. I can guarantee darn well, Mr. Attorney, Mr. Stewart, you would immediately say, oh, that's invalid. You can't do that. And I contacted you about that the same day, and you didn't get back to me for a week on it. And you still came up with some, you know, lame answer, in my opinion.
So, nothing works so well as berating the people that are doing you a favor by working on contract labor as attorneys when you did basically your first big move when you got into office was to fire the old attorney with no plan for replacing him. So, sure, tell them that they're terrible at their job and tell them that they give you lame answers and then put words in their mouth, which already earlier in the meeting they told you not to do when you did it and got it wrong. Okay. All right. So joining us now, we have Dan Schebler. He is the Santa Rosa County Administrator for a time still. And, of course, that was Commissioner James Calkins talking with Greg Stewart, the interim attorney working for Neighbors and Giblin. Dan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. So I'm watching these interactions with Commissioner Calkins and the interim attorney, and I'll be honest, I'm not surprised anymore that they don't want to be considered for the long-term job. I think they just don't want to have anything to do with this. But I worry that it's worse than that. Like, I worry that maybe they don't even continue for much longer.
Well, Andrew, unfortunately, yesterday, and I have to give Greg Stewart and Neighbors Giblin all credit. When I called him the day after Mr. Andrews was let go in December, we had an interim agreement by Monday, and they've been our county attorney since then. They did make a statement several months ago that they didn't think that they were a long-term solution and a long-term fit, and we do have an action item out now seeking other firms and also individuals interested in the county attorney position. But the bad news delivered yesterday was they have provided their notice that they intend to terminate that interim service agreement effective 31 August. So I delivered that late last night via email to the board. So fortunately, we're in the process, but again, I think timing is probably not the best. Because we're waiting for those responses. Those are due August 13th. So we'll have to make a decision August 24th at our meeting then on county legal representation.
So you got till the 31st until Neighbors and Giblin stops representing the county entirely, and you're not going to be able to make a decision about a new attorney until the 24th. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. Anyway, you're going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's a difficult situation. But I think Neighbors and Giblin have done great work for the county. They've been very supportive of my directors and me in helping us fix some things that need to be fixed and seeing this land development code, picking that up, that 400-page document up in the middle of the process, and then seeing it through really to completion on August 19th. Any number of things I could highlight, they've been a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't know the inner workings the way you do, but that's been my experience watching the meetings, is very capable, very competent, and yet another employee that's been driven off by, well, let's just say stuff. I'll put it that way. Other things that happened in the meeting, and I had a question about this because I don't fully understand it. I know that Chris Smith had offered to fund the purchase for the new tractor for lawn mowing for the soccer through a raffle of a gun he was going to donate, which is a wonderful kind gesture to donate a $1,000 gun that's going to be raffled. What I didn't exactly understand is the idea that this would be the solution to all the financial woes of the county, that we could just do gun raffles until we're solvent and doing well. Is the county even allowed to do stuff like this? I mean, if you could just do lotteries instead of doing taxes, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Mr. Smith offered to solve all of our problems, but in this case, we were talking about a $20,000 purchase of a zero-turn mower for the soccer club in the soccer complex, which is a 40-acre soccer park that needs to be mowed about every 4 or 5 days. And the volunteers are doing the mowing, so it's a capital investment from the county into our youth via the soccer club. But what Mr. Smith offered was to offer a gun, a $1,000 gun, and all the proceeds of the raffle would go. And I think where we landed yesterday is all the proceeds of that raffle would be donated to the West Florida Soccer Club, which is a nonprofit organization running the soccer park And then those funds could be used to offset the cost of the capital investment of a zero-turn mower and a shipping container for storage.
Okay. That all makes sense, because then, you know, that's where the money seems to be going just the right way. It just struck me as odd, like, how much can you do through raffle and lottery and gambling and things like that? But again, I certainly appreciate Chris trying to solve a problem through private means. I'm always going to support that. So somebody just texted me this question, and I don't think I know the answer. I suspect I know the answer, but they were asking the question, can Santa Rosa get rid of Mr. Calkins? What would the process be? The governor will be in Santa Rosa County this morning at 8 a.m. I mean, is there a process other than, like, ethical breach or crime? That's all, right?
I think there are certainly ethics issues and legal issues that have had commissioners removed from their office by the governor in the past. I don't know. I haven't researched the full history, but you, as Commissioner Calkins pointed out, that he was, elected by the people.
Right.
And the next ballot is in 2024 for District 3. But in between now and then, I think the options, there's no recall option in Florida.
Right.
There was a bill that was introduced that didn't get a lot of traction in Tallahassee. But it's up to the governor to take action when warranted.
Fair enough. And speaking of that, the governor, as the texter mentioned, is going to be in town this morning at Garson Point Toll Plaza at 8 a.m. Do you know what that's all about? Or if you do know, are you allowed to tell me? Because we all have our suspicions.
I do not know. I will certainly be asking some questions as soon as we hang up the phone. I was unaware that was occurring.
Yeah, it just went out to media early this morning, and I never assume that everybody's gotten the information. So interesting that they told us and not you. That's not right. They should be at least alerting county authorities. Hey, the governor's coming to town. I mean, I'm figuring it's going to have to do with the bridge, possibly an acquisition, maybe a deal with the bondholders, maybe a reduced toll. I mean, I'm hoping more than believing, but you know, that's kind of where my mind runs on something like this. We're talking to Dan Schebler. He is. Go ahead.
And I think it could also be related to Hurricane Sally and the waiver of all the tolls and some sort of settlement, perhaps with Skanska. So, that's all conjecture.
Well, and, you know, if he's going to hold a press conference at the Garson Point Toll Plaza, better to do it now rather than to do it, say, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, because, I mean, there's nobody driving that road now, which is back to kind of the normal status of things. Yesterday at the meeting, in and around all of the sort of controversial, exciting, you know, circus kind of stuff, some of which is more substantial than others, you guys did some actual business. Actual business, I think, related to some drainage and kind of rainwater flow concerns, maybe Ashmore, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the actions, and we had a relatively light agenda yesterday, but one of the significant actions is continuing to invest in infrastructure, which is a topic that often comes up. But, you can't just start building things. You have to design things first. So the board invested another $200,000, just a little over, in the design to improve and to really do a stormwater retrofit project in an area that flooded in Hurricane Sally in the Five Points area, the Ashmore subdivision. So it's the next step in the process. I know it's not as fast as the residents there would like, given that we're in hurricane season, but we can't just start digging holes and expect that to solve the problem. There is engineering and analysis that has to go into that. So that was approved yesterday to go forward.
Well, that's good. All right. I mean, you know, steps in the right direction. That's always good. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Dan, and just I know Commissioner Calkins was completely confused about this yesterday, and therefore I have to assume that there are also listeners, constituents, citizens who are also confused about it. Can you just maybe take a second and explain what the board can and cannot do in a workshop versus in a regular meeting in terms of votes, direction, consensus? These were all terms that came up yesterday. I mean, I think I'm pretty clear about what it is, but it might be useful to just, have a little bit clearer in people's minds if you could explain that for a second.
Yeah, I think, with the pandemic last year, we went to a reduced meeting schedule, and we had two regular commission meetings a month that were both voting meetings. But that didn't give the commissioners an opportunity to discuss things or the staff to present information or to have outside folks come in and give a presentation. So we created at the beginning of this year the work session and put that in between the two regular voting meetings, the intent of the work session being discussion and direction. It's not a voting meeting where things are going to be decided or voted on by the board, but certainly they can provide direction to me, to other staff, feedback to citizens. There's a public forum aspect of that. And not everything requires a board vote. There are things that they have to vote on that are by policy and by statute. And there are things that they can just say, Mr. Administrator, go do this. And the majority of the board and the will of the board, if you will, gives me that direction to go and work on the things that they've asked me to. And then on the regular meetings is when we vote on contracts, we vote on grant applications, we vote on real estate transactions, new policies like discretionary funds that was implemented yesterday. Rejection of bids is one of those things that's required. That was on our agenda yesterday. So those are formal votes that have to occur to complete the business of the county. But there are certainly business that gets done in the work session, providing me and the staff direction as to what to do next.
And so it's essentially in the regular meeting, they can do everything. In the work session, it's not just talking. It's not just bull, so to speak. It is also the possibility to give direction, make decisions, but they're just ones that don't. They can only make the decisions that don't need full official recorded votes with public input. That's the distinction, right? In short?
Correct. And I mean, it's an open advertised public meeting.
Right.
That sometimes you have people there and they have an input or they have comment. And we also have, outside agencies come. We've had the Santa Rosa County Chamber come, the Long Wolf Alliance, and that's where we give those community groups an opportunity to tell their story to the Board of County Commissioners and to the public.
Right. Yeah, the informational aspect of the work sessions is always really useful as well because it's a longer format to gain information and perspective that we might not otherwise get. Dan Schebler, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. As always, Dan, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do for the community. I certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.